Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Despite winning his fourth championship and finals MVP, LeBron James already has his eyes on the next one, as the King reportedly told AD, quote, "We've got more work to do if the Lakers want to win another ring next year." Still, for a franchise that hasn't won any titles in the past 10 seasons, the celebration will keep on going, and nobody is more excited than our next guest. We're so happy to be joined by the one and only Snoop Dogg this morning, diehard member of Laker Nation. Snoop, I'm so happy for you. Congrats to your Lakers. The floor is yours.
Hey, look here. Y'all know what these are? This is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 1971 All-Star ring, and this is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's 1985 All-Star ring. How about that? Mm.
True Laker fan. Super fan. Mm.
Hello.
Snoop, bro, you hit me up shortly after the buzzer sounded. Man, I haven't heard you this happy in such a long time. What was going through your mind when the confetti starts to fall down and you're like, my Lakers are champs in their rightful place again?
I just felt like we started 2020 off on such a bad note, and for the NBA to pull off a season where they had a bubble with no bad tests. The games were exciting. They were interesting. Teams had an opportunity to get there. They played their hearts out. New players shine. And then it came down to the big fish, LeBron James and AD, which was favored to win it all season. And, you know, too bad the Clippers couldn't make it, but that's not our responsibility. And I heard you, Skip, you said we avoided them. We did not avoid them. They was in the same bubble we was in. They didn't handle their business. Lemon Pepper Lucian went and got them wings. And Doc Rivers should have had his team under control. It was too much load management. Our team was gelling. They was coming together. Dwight Howard played his role. Rondo played his role. When you got seasoned vets like that, that don't have a problem with playing their role. And then LeBron James got those other guys up to par. KCP, Caruso. Man, they came to play this year, and they really impressed me, and it made me so happy to see them go from terrible 2 years ago to in the finals. And that's the, you know, the work that LeBron James puts in when he comes to a franchise to change the whole environment to get it back to where it is right now. And we're so happy in L.A. that LeBron came to us and brought AD and put us back in a place where we could say, you know what, we started off the year bad, we lost Kobe and Gigi, but this championship show gives us a little bit of, you know, rejoicement at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm. So, Snoop, I want to congratulate you. I want to congratulate Laker Nation. I even want to congratulate you on your Steelers so far, who are 5-0. Maybe this is your year in both the NBA and the NFL. But let's be real about what just went down. Your Lakers got every break imaginable. It was like it was meant to be. After the late, great Kobe passed, everything broke your way, all the way from the pandemic that gave LeBron 5 months off to rest up and revitalize and get ready for the big playoff push. And then, to your point, the Clippers didn't even want to go to the bubble. They had issues, Black Lives Matter issues. They had COVID issues. They just didn't want to be there. And in the end, going into the playoffs, Las Vegas, all the odds makers favored the Clippers over your Lakers. And you did avoid them because they were looking ahead to wanting to get you.
Skip, slap him in the back. He's choking. They choke. That's what they do every year, Skip. Sorry to hurt your feelings, but I've been in L.A. my whole life.
I know.
They ain't won nothing. They ain't never even went to a Western Conference Finals.
Nope.
They had to lob city when we were sorry. When we were sorry for 6 years, they had Lob City and still couldn't go.
Snoop.
Their best chance to win was when they had Lob City.
Their best chance to win was the first closeout game against the Nuggets. They were up, 16.
You know what we say in L.A.?
16 points, yeah, against the Nuggets.
You know what we say in L.A.? We not the Clippers. That's what we say in L.A. When the Denver Nuggets came to play us, we ate them Nuggets. You see that? We had a five-piece Nugget dinner. Murray, Jokic.
Yeah.
Okay. Porter, them Nuggets was good.
Okay, but Snoop, then you get to the finals. And who's left from the East? the 5 seed, a team that has to play 3 rookies high minutes. 2 of them started, one of them, Tyler Hero, the youngest player ever to play in the finals. And what happened in game 1? They lost Dragic, their leading playoff scorer. And then they lost Bam, their heart and soul, their energizer. And he tried to come back 2 games later, and his bum shoulder never was quite right. You got every. This was an epic mismatch against the Miami Heat. You know it, and I know it. You should have swept them.
Skip. But the thing is this. When you're a coach and you're a team, your job is to coach your team, not the other team. And that's what you keep trying to do. You keep trying to put their blame on us like it's our fault the Clippers lost. It's our fault the Miami Heat beat the Bucks. It's our fault. No, your job is to handle your business before you to get to that game and leave the excuses behind. I give Miami Heat a lot of credit because they played their butts off. They played hard. They made us work. They made us make adjustments. They pushed us to the limit in every game that we played except those 2 games, the first one and the last game. So I give them a lot of kudos. Nobody really knew those guys. They came together. They played. They made no excuses. Sound like you making excuses for everybody else. You can't do that.
Well,
you get to the bubble. You knew the rules and regulations. You knew the stipulations. You got there. It ain't no asterisk. It is what it is. This is what it is, Skip. You see that ink?
Yep.
That's what it is.
Is that brand new?
KB on the bottom, championship on top.
Woo. Did you just get that yesterday?
Yes, sir. Woo-hoo. Sir, yes.
Yeah, you got one too, right?
I'm thinking about getting me one. Yeah. But Jeannie's son is blowing my horn. I was in a parade over there in Westwood in Beverly Hills.
You know what? How about me and you have our own little parade, Shane?
Let's do that.
We're gonna have a two.
Well, I need to rent a pickup truck, get the goat, go downtown in front of Staples Center, and just start blaring music. Snoop, when you look at our team, we had Dwight Howard. Nobody wanted Dwight. Oh, he's a cancer. He'll kill your locker room. We got Keith Morris at the trade deadline. Nobody wanted him. Rondo. Caruso. We got Caruso from South Bay. So look at all the fill-in pieces that we had. Y'all talking about, oh, Kawhi shunned him. Paul George. Kawhi chose Paul George and Pat Beverly over AD and LeBron. How he looking now, Snoop? Mm.
What are you talking about, playoff P?
Way off P. Because he way off shooting them shots.
Look, let me tell y'all something about this basketball thing, man. It starts with your leader, right? And Kawhi Leonard's a great basketball player, but to me, he's not a great leader. Like, he doesn't lead with his play.
Right.
Basically, he don't lead vocally. LeBron James is strong enough to lead with his play, to lead with vocals, and to lead by being like a general manager, by saying, go get him, bring me him. I know he's not a big-name player, but he's going to play his role. It's all about the role. When LeBron builds a team, he wants role players. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, to me, that's why he is a little bit better than Kawhi Leonard as far as being able to take a team and a franchise and make them win, because he makes everybody better. Kawhi Leonard comes to the team as maybe him and somebody else, but it wasn't a whole team effort. The Lakers became a team in the bubble.
Well, Kyle Lowry was the leader. See, Kawhi's style of work works when you're winning. But if you have chaos or if you have crisis in your locker room, Kawhi Leonard's style won't work, because just playing won't solve that issue in the locker room. They had issues in the locker room with Paul George thinking that he was a superstar. And they had a problem with guys load managing, because they said, hold on, wait a minute. You do realize that we went to the second round, we took 2 games off of a healthy Golden State, and now you guys come in here and then y'all get carte blanche service? Where they do that at, Doc? Gave those guys privileges that they hadn't earned. What you did where you over there, they got to do it right here. You need to win for us, just like the Laker faithful wanted LeBron. We know you got MVPs. We know you win titles. But if you want love and adoration that Magic and Kobe and Shaq and all those greats get, bring us one. Now they got it. They love LeBron. They finna put up a new mural. I bet they don't deface that one, Skip.
Nope.
You was doing it. You
I
was
deface.
Yeah,
deface
it was Skip deface.
Skip, you was doing it. I got footage of you, Skip.
It.
I got footage of you spray painting that LeBron mural.
I wouldn't stoop to that.
I wasn't gonna tell on you, but I'm gonna show that footage later on today.
Look, The leader of the Los Angeles Clippers was Doc Rivers, and they even went south on him, and he lost his job because of it. But I'm hoping the Clippers will elevate one Ty Lue, yeah, who might just be kryptonite for LeBron James because he knows all the flaws and all the weaknesses.
What about Spo? Didn't Spo know all the flaws and all the weaknesses?
I don't know. He didn't have the firepower.
Y'all ain't got the firepower. Yeah. Skip! Kawhi cannot stop LeBron. Mm. Paul George, Patrick Beverley. Okay, and even if you try to throw all these bodies at LeBron, what are you going to do with AD? Do you realize AD going to even be better next year?
What happened on opening night when AD went blank in the fourth quarter? He had a big old goose egg.
Y'all like living off that. Opening night ain't got nothing to do with these rings and that banner. What's happening when the season starts next year? It's going to be another banner up there, and the Clippers got to come back to our house. Our little sisters got to come back to our house and use our little, play area, and then get on out of there. Go get your own stadium because y'all don't got no banners. We don't even want y'all in here no more. It's Laker Nation. I mean, 17. Skip 17.
Hey, Snoop, just think about you got to go to some. You got to go live in somebody's house, and then when you go stay, you got to cover up all their accomplishments. Mm. You got to block out all those retired numbers, all those banners to come play in our house. I'm like, why are those black those black sheets are hanging up? Because y'all got no history, and that's our building with our history.
Wait a second. We are building our own mansion out in Inglewood right now.
It ain't going to have
that.
Not one banner going to be up in there. What y'all want to put a banner up? What y'all did? Y'all gonna have Lob City banner?
Shout out to the LA Sparks, UCLA basketball team, and the YMCA team. All of them better than the Clippers.
hey, they gonna go buy trophies. They gonna go buy banners to hang because they got none. They got no history. Y'all ain't won nothing, Skip. Y'all can't even say y'all been to Western Conference Finals. Mm. Y'all got nothing.
Just wait till next year.
And then you go.
So, Snoop, you got to sum it up for us. How many more will Bron and AD win for your Lakers in L.A.?
I say LeBron is on. He got two more years with us, right?
Yep.
I think we're going to get two more. I think we'll get two more, and I think LeBron, I think he can play well into his 40s, but I think he's going to pass it off to AD and show AD how to become a leader and be more aggressive and be more of a tone setter and not wait on LeBron to push his butt. Mm. I think being around LeBron is going to give him that killer instinct that he desperately needs at certain occasions where he falls off. So being around somebody as great as LeBron, I feel like, championships and finals is always a part of the resume, and I think we'll be there every year that he's here.
Mm. And we're gonna bring some pieces in. Don't think we set. We not set.
Mm. Hey, Bradley Beal just moved to LA, huh?
If we get Bradley Beal, it's over for the next 3 years.
How are you gonna fit him under?
Don't worry about it.
Somebody gotta go.
Yeah. All I know is that Kawhi Leonard watches this show, and I think he just watched Snoop predict the Lakers are gonna win the next two.
I got Kawhi Leonard number on speed there. Yes, I can call him and tell him first that they saw it.
Snoop, it is so good to have you on the show. It is so good to see you this happy.
Included. I love you, Skip.
Continue celebrating.
Love you, Snoop.
Continue to rub it in to Skip. All right, we're going to check in with you soon. I hope to see you in person as well. Snoop, thanks again.
No mercy.
Start Saturday strong with a battle in the Big 12 as Kansas takes on the hard-hitting Mountaineers of West Virginia. It all starts with the Big Noon Kickoff pregame show at 10 a.m. Eastern, all part of Big Noon Saturday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. The Chargers held a 20-3 lead over the Saints last night, but New Orleans rallied back in the second half to come out with a 30-27 victory in overtime. Justin Herbert became the first rookie to throw for four touchdowns on Monday Night Football and also finished with a 74 QBR as opposed to Drew Brees only getting a 66. Reggie Bush is back with us this morning on Undisputed. Reggie, you won a championship with Drew. From what you've seen, does he have enough left in the tank to take his team all the way to the Super Bowl?
Without a doubt, he has enough left in the tank. I think anybody who watched that game last night saw a fighter. You saw somebody overcome adversity. You saw an old veteran quarterback make some mistakes early, but still find a way to will his team to a win late in the game. And I'm so happy they won that game because I knew just about every media person in the world was ready to kill Drew Brees today. But we saw a fighter. We saw a team overcome some of its early mistakes. The defense, the secondary, got shredded. Justin Herbert can play. I love watching this kid. He's tall. He's athletic. He finds the open receivers when there's a breakdown. He can read defenses. He's a leader. He's a fighter. Like, what else do you want out of a quarterback other than what Justin Herbert gives you? The Saints met a really good football team last. The Chargers are a raw team. A record may not showcase that, being 1-4. But at the end of the day, this is a team with all-stars on it. Keenan Allen, you go on the defensive side of the ball. Bosa, I mean, you got players all over the place on this football team. And they gave the Saints everything they could handle last night. And the Saints still found a way to win the football game without their best target, Michael Thomas. And that's one thing that I just want to make the point of, because, again, Drew Brees has been doing all. They're 3-2 right now. They're the leaders in their division in the NFC South, without having used their best weapon, Michael Thomas, most of the season. So once Michael Thomas comes back, it's going to open up everything else for that, for the receivers, for the run game, for Alvin Kamara, and also for Drew Brees.
For me, watching Drew over the last 5 weeks, this version of Drew Brees will not lead them to the Super Bowl. He didn't play well against Tampa, and I don't think he's played particularly well. Now, he has spots in which he's played well. But right now, they're not beating Green Bay. They're not beating Seattle. You're not playing. The likelihood of you facing a rookie quarterback in the playoffs are not very good. And what I'm seeing from Drew Brees, I don't know if he has the confidence to fit that ball into small windows. He's never had the strongest arm, Reggie. But Drew used to throw with great anticipation and can fit balls into windows. He's no longer doing that. There's a lot of skip passes. There's a lot of overthrows. And I think that, Skip and I was talking about this earlier, when you're a great player, you don't get compared to other great players. You get compared to a younger version of yourself. And what we've seen from Drew Brees, and yes, he's still completing 66% of his passes, but when you're used to seeing a guy complete 75-80% of his passes, you're like, well, what's going on? And maybe you're right. Maybe Michael Thomas not being there because he's a very one receiver dominant player. We saw that last night with Emmanuel Sanders. But from what I'm seeing and their defense, no, they're not going to Super Bowl, Reg. I'm sorry.
That's 14 points, though, with Michael Thomas on the field. Guaranteed 14 points. And then you open up everything else for the receivers, for Emmanuel Sanders, for Alvin Kamara, for the run game. They are missing one of their biggest key assets on this offense. And again, I know they lost to the Green Bay Packers, and Green Bay didn't have one of their best weapons. But we cannot sit here and try to say that Michael Thomas, one of the best receivers in the NFL, who set records last year with Drew Brees, he does not have his Robin right now. He does not have his Batman. They are missing that chemistry right now on the football field. And that's why defenses are able to play a little bit tighter, right? They can play man coverage. The Chargers played man coverage so much last night.
Because Drew can't throw the ball over the head, Reggie. They're saying, Drew, you can't throw the ball over our head. We're going to make you fit the ball in the tight windows. And if you can do that, you can beat us. If you can't, they're playing straight man across the board.
Right now, who's their deep threat right now that's scaring any secondary? When you look at the New Orleans Saints right now, if I'm a defensive coordinator, who am I scared of from that receiver position? Nobody scares me to threaten me deep. Until we get Michael Thomas back, then that deep threat is going to come back to us. But right now, we don't have that deep ball right now because nobody is scared of our receivers.
So Reggie, once upon a time, you won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees. When you came out of USC and you started catching passes from Drew Brees, do you think his arm strength was much stronger in those days than it is from what you see on TV now?
I think just from the natural standpoint of age, right, you're going to have some drop-off. Nobody is saying that Drew Brees is still zipping the ball like he was in 2006. That's a completely different player. But what you can do as an athlete and as a competitor, you can learn how to adapt. The same way LeBron is learning how to adapt in year 17, winning championships, is the same thing that great players like Drew Brees can do, like Tom Brady can do. That's why they're still the starting quarterbacks of NFL franchise teams, because they can still do it. Drew Brees has the most completions, the most yards, the most touchdowns, and the most passing attempts. What else do you want from this guy? No, it's not going to look the same in year 18, 19, whatever, but he can still win you football games. He can still lead your team to victory. And I use Peyton Manning as a great example. He was not throwing the ball well his last year when they won that Super Bowl in Denver. So Drew Brees can get that, can do the same thing.
Well, you better have your defense there. I need to see a Von Miller and a D Ware and some of those and those two guys on those Rikers Island, Chris Harris Jr. and Akeem Tlaib. But here's the thing. What teams are not afraid of is Drew Brees throwing the ball over their head. If you go back and look at the playoffs, the last 3 years, and you look at Drew Brees in the playoffs, and you tell me that's the same guy in the regular season, when they start clamping down, when they start getting up in those receivers' faces and says, okay, Drew, throw this ball in this window here. You've seen it. You saw Minnesota last year.
I've seen it.
The miracle in Minnesota, whatever they want to call that. Drew didn't play well early, Reggie. They just had gotten conservative and says, you know what? Let's put it in the tank. And they allowed Drew to come back. But Drew hadn't played well in a playoff game in a very long time.
Yes, and that's absolutely on Drew Brees. That is 100% on Drew to make sure that he has his team in the right position to win the game, that he continues to lead his team. Because at the end of the day, that's most of the reason why Drew is here, is to give them that leadership that he has given them since he stepped in the New Orleans Saints uniform. So I saw that last night. Last night's game kind of reminded me of 2009 when we played against the Miami Dolphins. They had Ricky Williams, Ronnie Brown. They rushed for like 200 yards each on us by halftime. By the end of the game, Drew Brees did the same thing, jumped over the end zone, stuck the ball out, got a touchdown. He led us back to victory. That's why Drew is here. I'm not expecting Drew to out-duel Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert looks amazing right now, but I am expecting Drew Brees to be the best leader on that football field.
Well, you ain't expecting him to out-duel Justin Herbert. Well, what the hell are they going to do with Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? Or Tom Brady, if you have to see him again.
It's a team effort.
Okay.
You need everybody.
So, Reggie, the way I sum this up is, I see Drew Brees aging. Not a lot, but slowly but surely aging. I see loss of arm strength. I see him laboring to deliver balls that he used to deliver without effort. I don't see Tom Brady aging the way Shannon does. Shannon thinks he's basically fallen off the cliff, Tom Brady has. But he looks stronger to me at 43 than Brees does. I don't even know, what is he, 41 now? I think he was 41. Yeah, than Drew Brees. I see one aging far more than Tom Brady is aging. That's just me.
Listen, you got to also remember, Drew tore his shoulder up in 2005, whatever year that was. So you cannot sit here and... you cannot expect there to not be any residual effects, you know, when you've played this long in the league. Like, Drew's shoulder has been through a lot. It's a surgically repaired shoulder. There is going to be some drop-off. Tom Brady never tore his shoulder up the same way Drew Brees did. He tore his knee up the same way, or he tore his knee up pretty bad. And we see Tom Brady can't run. He can't scramble. and so for Drew Brees right now, I do see some decline. I do see that. I don't see that same zip. But I do still see a fighter. I do still see a leader. And I see somebody that understands the league and understands how to adjust to all those elements. No mercy.
LeBron James won his fourth career ring on Sunday night. And now people are asking where this Lakers title team ranks against his other championship squads. USA Today ranked his 2013 Miami Heat team as the best after they beat the Spurs in a seven-game thriller, followed by his first Miami title team, the 2016 Cavs, and finally the 2020 Lakers. So, Shannon, which was LeBron's best championship team?
I think I'm going to have to agree, Skip. I think because the addition of Ray Allen to that second championship team, and they have Mike Miller, they had specialists that were really good at shooting threes, Skip. Unlike this team, can you imagine if Ray Allen and Mike Miller had the opportunities that they gave Danny Green and that they gave some of these other guys? Because you talk about all the time how Mike Miller couldn't miss, how Rio Chalmers had games where he couldn't miss a three. And so I would agree with that.
So you're going 2013.
I'm going to go 2013. Man, this is hard because the thing is that I think, with the exception of 2016, the 2012 and the 2013 benches were better than what they had in 2020. But AD, so I'm going to go 2013, 2020, 2016, 2012.
AD's not going to like this. You realize
that. I understand that.
You're just disrespecting.
Skip, I put him in the baby goat.
Skip, I thought you called him the baby goat.
But here's the thing. They had more. That 2013 team, Skip, had more depth. You got D-Wade, Chris Bosh. And then when you could come go to the bench and you talk about Ray Allen, Mike Miller, Skip, that's a different animal. Dude, his best, I think his best teammate, his most talented teammate, no question, going to be AD. Because nobody can do what he does, can impact both ends. Dwayne Wade is phenomenal, Skip, but AD is just a different animal, Skip. 6'10 and a half, shoot the three ball, over 40% from the three, can put it on the floor, get to the mid-range, can put the ball all the way on the floor and get all the way to the rack. You file him, Skip, at one point, he was 26 straight free throws made. So he was probably, 30 or 33, 34 at the free throw line. Skip, so...
He went 90, 40, 50 in the finals.
Yes.
Which is hard to do because he made, obviously, 90%. 40% of his threes. And
50% from the floor. They're the first teammates to average 25 and 10 and shoot over 50%. So I'm going to go 20. Skip, they had a 27-game win streak. 27 games, which is the second longest ever. Mm-hmm. I understand that the 2012, they had to get through the big three Celtics. They were down. I get all that, Skip, but I'm going to go 2013, and then I'm going to go 2020.
I will give you that AD is more talented than Dwayne Wade ever thought about being, because Dwayne might measure about 6'4",
yeah,
maybe.
I give him 6'4".
In his sneakers. But when it comes to winning intangibles, when it comes to making the shot at the moment, I'll take Dwayne Wade any day or any night over AD.
Skip, he coming now. Right. This is his first one now. He coming now. You saw the shot that he hit against Denver. You saw that.
He had on a Mamba jersey, and I think he truly believed he was channeling Kobe Bryant.
He said it, Kobe.
He yelled Kobe as soon as he shot it. And I thought it was a break for him. The play was not called for him, so he didn't have to sweat the pressure of, I gotta make it. It just suddenly came over to him on the wing because Rondo looked to LeBron, play call for LeBron. I locked eyes with him. He didn't move. That's what Rondo said. AD swoops across the backside, and all of a sudden, what's his name from Denver?
You talking about Plumlee, Mason Plumlee.
He has no idea where he's going, and he kind of goes and doubles the LeBron James, who is a statue.
Yeah!
He doubles a statue.
Decoy, got it.
Because LeBron was one of six in that fourth quarter and wanted no part of a last shot that was called for him to take, and AD just caught it and shot it without having to think of anything except Kobe, and it went in.
Yep.
Does he have that dog in him? I have no idea.
Yes,
Charles
you do.
Barkley says no.
Skip.
I have my doubts.
Okay, what about, hold on. What was that? They had just game four when he hit the shot, that three? That really put the
game four of the finals?
Yes.
You're going to take some credit for playing a team with a 6'9 center?
They got there.
Really?
They got there. They beat the number one seed. They beat the three seed. They're the three seed. Boston the three seed. Beat both of them. Beat the brakes off.
Goran Dragic is their leading scorer, and he gets hurt and is gone after game one.
Skip, they played hard. Jimmy Butler put two historic performances in the finals game.
And it took that. They were aberrations. They're not what he does. He's not a prolific scorer.
Okay, Skip.
In the other games, he averaged 20, which is his career average.
But.
Okay.
So what year do you think is the best?
Okay, this is dear to my heart because it breaks my heart to even have to talk about this. when you add Ray Allen to what was already there to make
team,
it four Hall of Famers on one team, it's just too good.
You're right.
They went 66-16 in that regular season and won 27 straight games.
Right.
Ray Allen is the ultimate sniper, and he shot me right in the heart. And it was the first time the Ernestine jinx kicked in because that was the night I'm in Miami watching the game. And I called her just to check in with her during a timeout when we were up 5 with 18 seconds left.
Appreciate you doing that.
Yeah. And she said, we got this. And I was like, ooh, that didn't sound right. It just hit me wrong that she said, we got this. I was just going to sort of check in and see, are you okay right now? Because I had a little break, and I thought I knew all hell was about to break loose because I thought we did have it, but I did not voice that.
Right.
Once those words tumbled out of
my mouth.
Yeah,
don't burn the money, Skip. You know, you gamble. Yeah. Don't touch the money.
Okay.
Wait till the cards are laid out on the table and all that stuff. Don't burn the money.
That is correct. And in that final minute of that game, LeBron turned it over twice thanks to steals by Kawhi and Manu. And down the stretch, he made one big three, but then to tie the game, he LeBricked a three that bounced so far off the back iron that Chris Bosh retrieved it because Tim Duncan, for reasons I still don't understand, was not in the game.
Because that's what Pop normally do. Yeah. And stop saying he made one. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, he made three threes in the fourth quarter. Mm. Three of them.
He LeBricked the one to tie, and Ray Allen saved his bacon. Saved his legacy.
16.
With the greatest clutch shot I have ever seen. And he didn't just make it. He stepped back behind the line. Do we have that shot?
We do.
It hurts me to see it, but... He got his feet back behind, that's the LeBrick, and Bosh gets the rebound and kicks it, and he manages to scoot all the way back to get both feet behind the line, and then just rips it as clean as you can rip it. Unfortunately, Tony Parker was way late.
Bah.
Boom.
That's what my guy did.
And that was the end of me.
And you remember what happened in game two? Mm. The game two when old Tiago Splitter tried to get a dunk.
Mm.
Bron said, no, sir.
You know what? That was a great finals. That was epic because my Spurs were at their height at that point. And on your team, you still had the snipers of the year before.
Yeah.
You still had Mike Miller.
Yep.
You had Mario Chalmers,
yep,
who had taken
Battier.
Over. And you had Battier, who in game two saved you because he made six threes at Oklahoma City. Remember, Oklahoma City won game one in a rout. And it looked like the three baby Jordans, you know, you had KD, Westbrook, and Harden, three future MVPs.
We knew they would relax after winning that first game.
Did you? Yeah.
That's what LeBron said.
You knew that Shane Battier was going to make six threes in game
That's
two.
That's why we got him on the team. What you think we got him on the team for? Yeah. To make Kool-Aid, make Gatorade or something?
Saved you, and LeBron got away with a foul on KD. Obvious foul.
But let me tell
Should have been called.
Let me tell you, now we're going to have the same call. I'm going to be sitting here in this very chair. Next year, I don't know exactly when. I don't know if it'll be June. I don't know if it'll be July. It might even be August.
Mm.
And we're going to have the same conversation. Which team was LeBron's best? And it's going to be the 2021 championship.
You think so? Well, this team also featured Chris Anderson, who was really good.
Birdman.
Yeah. And how about Udonis Haslam?
Yep.
Is he any good?
Yep.
And even Rashard Lewis contributed to that team because he could snipe it too, right?
Yep.
So that team was loaded with Ray Allen, who saved your legacy. You should have three championships, and you have four.
Actually, we should have more. Because if Kyrie and Kevin Love don't get hurt, because that's what we're doing, right? We're talking about injuries, because you mentioned about Goran Dragic being hurt, and you're talking about Bam being hurt. So since we're talking about injuries, we should have another title. Because if Kyrie and Kevin Love doesn't get hurt, we beat them the first time around.
Are you a GOAT or not a GOAT?
I'm just asking you if that's what I'm saying. All I'm saying is...
You had game for that series in the palm of your hand, in your house, in your castle.
Yeah.
You're the king of the castle, right?
You know what? Why you
and
do that?
And you came up small thanks to Iggy, who put it on you that night.
Oh, Iggy put it on us,
He got inserted in the starting lineup, and he took you out.
Skip,
Or 22.
You do realize LeBron did not play well in the finals against the Mavs. He was 17-8-7, I think. That was his number. You do realize those are the numbers that Iggy and Kawhi won Finals MVP with?
Mm, I don't really care.
Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now
nobody ever accused them of being the GOAT.
That's what you did. You said Kawhi was the best player.
Mm.
And LeBron said, no, he's not. He hasn't been. He's never been. I don't know why you put him in discussion.
Kawhi's revenge tour starts now.
I mean, think about this, Skip. You win an award because you held a man to 36-13-9 over six games, and you win Finals MVP.
Okay.
That's what you won it for.
Okay, I told you Duncan could have won it. Parker could have won it. Ginobili could have won it.
No, I'm talking about Iggy.
Oh, Iggy.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Kawhi in 2014.
Oh, yeah.
When you got blown off the floor by a record finals.
Yeah, the Heat got blown off the court. The Heat did. The Miami Heat.
The GOAT did, quote unquote.
Well, what about this time? Did we get blown off the floor or we blew somebody off the court?
It was an epic mismatch.
No. Of course.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
No mercy.
The Cowboys are moving forward without Dak Prescott after the QB suffered a season-ending ankle injury during their win over the Giants on Sunday. With Dak playing this season on the franchise tag, there have already been whispers that we may have just seen Prescott's last game in a Dallas uniform. One anonymous exec even told The Athletic that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys could be tempted to move forward with a discounted Andy Dalton next season. Super Bowl champ and Fox Sports college football analyst Reggie Bush joining us this morning. Reggie, I'm going to get right to the point. How much money will this injury cost Dak?
Well, I don't think it's going to cost him that much money, because you got to think, as a quarterback, you're always in a position of leverage, especially quarterbacks in this day and age. And Dak having this injury obviously was horrible. We feel for him. You hate to see it happen. But if Dak can bounce back next year, which I'm sure he can, he's young enough, his body's going to snap back. Now, this will take some time to get back to feeling like himself. But if Dak can come back next year, play well, he will be in the same exact position he was this year. And so I only think that this injury delays him, you know, 1 year. Maybe if he comes back next year, plays well, you still got to, you know, they're going to be talks about maybe franchise tag, long-term contract, or letting him go to the free agency market. In any of those situations, he's still going to get paid. He's still going to get his money. So as long as Dak can bounce back and you know, get back to being healthy, take some time to take care of his injury, and just make sure that he's 100% next time he steps on that football field. But if Dak just goes back to being the same Dak, it'll be enough for him to get a big contract. And I don't have any doubts in my mind that he's going to do that, especially with the way that technology is and just how much better our doctors have gotten over the years with injuries like this.
I think in the short term, it hurts him. I just, you know, everybody keeps throwing around the franchise tag. It's just hard for me to see them throwing out $38 million, Skip. And they say the cap might come down to 175.
Yeah, what from you, 200.
From 200 to 175.
COVID, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If you give Dak $38 million, that's 22% of your cap. Now, they always tell me that they want to keep the quarterback or the highest paid player around 14%. So you mean to tell me a guy coming off that injury, like, it's not an Achilles injury? And like you said, quarterbacks get an opportunity to come back because they don't have to have the mobility to stay over receiver or defensive back. So yeah. It's different. Quarterback injuries are different, Skip. And plus, like I said, quarterbacks have injuries and they play another 10, 15 years. So for me, I think in the short term, it might hurt him because he might not get that $38 million from a franchise tag. He might have to play on a cheaper number. But I agree with you on this end. If he comes back next year, he's healthy, he plays well. So now going into 2022, Skip, he'll be able to get that big payday that he wants. So in other words, he would just had to push it off for basically 2 years. But if he get at the end of the day, if he gets the kind of money that he wants, it's 2 years had to wait, a lot of tears, a lot of sleepless nights. But I believe in the short term, it hurts him. Long term, if he comes back, he's healthy, Dak Prescott gets paid in the long run.
I am with Reggie Bush on this one. I don't know why you continue to insist that he wouldn't get that tag next year. I think Jerry will have no choice but to give him the tag sight unseen, because you'll have no idea if he's going to be 100% or 89%. You're just going to have to hope that the doctors say he looks like he's going to be really good, like he should be 100% at or near.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. What if you're under the same protocols as we are now? No OTAs, no mini camps. Basically, you got to show up to training camp and you just got
to
go.
You're going to have to close your eyes and plunge $38 million, which is 22% of your cap.
Right.
Look, Jerry Jones will crumble under public perception and opinion when it affects his bottom line. And the irony of this conversation is, I believe Jerry, through their big contractual battle, has turned Dak into a sympathetic figure. And obviously, we are all just devastated to see this injury. Mm-hmm. Well, again, Dak is a sympathetic figure. I think Jerry will say, okay, we've seen a lot from him. I didn't see $40 million a year a lot, but I saw enough to say, let's try the tag one more time. The only thing I hate about the tag for the young man's sake is this will be three straight years he's had to prove himself, right?
Yes.
And I hate it because it's not fun, you know, and it's not healthy. It's not psychologically healthy for him or the football team.
Right.
Because all the players are going to get asked all year long next year, what do you think about, do you think Dak's going to get long-term or whatever? And if he plays the way he's been playing, I think Jerry will plunge and give him, and they're going to have to fight over 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But I think after next year, he would get the long-term deal that he wanted.
In 2022.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And if you look at Tom Brady, right, Tom Brady tore his ACL up.
Yep.
He was able to come back from injury. Drew Brees tore his shoulder up. We didn't even know if Drew Brees was going to be able to throw a football ever again. Mm-mm. And then now look where he is. Most passing touchdowns, most career passing touchdowns, most career completions, you know, most career yardage. So for quarterbacks, they're always in positions of leverage. Mm-hmm. And if he was a running back, I'd be like, hey, man, that's probably it for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because for running backs, we don't have that much time to give away. We don't have a year or two to miss. We have to get it while we can. For quarterbacks right now, we see Tom Brady playing to 40-plus years, Drew Brees 40-plus years, Aaron Rodgers still looks good late into his 30s. So for Dak Prescott, he's young. He's going to snap back. The doctors are going to make sure that he gets back to his old self. And here's the thing about also fracturing and breaking bones. I've broken my fibula before. Whenever what the doctors told me is that whenever you come back from a broken bone, it usually heals back twice as thick, twice as tough, because ligaments are like rubber bands. When you tear those, they are always susceptible to being torn again. And so for a broken bone, a fracture like this, it's going to heal back a lot stronger for Dak. And I'm not saying he won't break it again, but it's definitely going to be different from if he tore his ACL or PCL or something like that.
I'm sure they're going to put plates and screws in there. But Tom Brady is different. Yeah. Tom Brady was playing for $100,000. Coach Belichick got him on the cheap, Skip. So you could always bring him back. But if you remember, Reggie, Drew only got a six-year deal, a six-year, $60 million deal, only $10 million.
Yeah.
So there was not a whole lot of money. There was the Saints protecting themselves, but they had to get somebody to feel that. Yes. And I don't think Jerry's like, we're the Cowboys. We don't really need a face or a player to sell seats in this building. The Saints had to go out on a limb because they had nothing. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, I believe in the short term, but Skip is hell-bent believing that they're going to franchise him again, which will put him around $69 million for 2 years,
which is not bad
money.
Not bad. That's good money.
Reggie Bush, go one other direction with this. There's a piece today in The Athletic by Mike Sando quoting anonymous GMs as speculating about what Andy Dalton could do to affect Jerry Jones' view of how to approach a lower cap. Look, Andy Dalton is not Dak, but he's not bad. He's made three Pro Bowls. His first 5 years in Cincinnati, he averaged winning 10 games a year. Not bad. What if Andy Dalton becomes sort of the ultimate backup quarterback game manager? They feed Zeke. They become more back to being a running football team that Shannon wanted them to be from the start anyway. And they somehow steal, quote unquote, the worst division in pro football maybe ever. The NFC least. And what if Jerry sits back and says, you know, Andy's a good guy. He's a Texas kid. He went to TCU. He's from suburban Houston. What if we pay him $20 million going forward and we spend all the rest of our cap trying to shore up a defense that right now has given up more points than any defense in football? Could you see that happening going forward with Andy as the game manager starter?
I could see that, but I still think Dak has just warranted and done enough to showcase that he is the future. And listen, Andy Dalton's a great player. I think Jerry Jones did an amazing job by getting him to be the backup quarterback this year, and you see how it played out. He gave himself an insurance policy. But for Dak Prescott, I think he's done enough. I think he's shown enough, one, that he's a fighter, two, that he can play, he wins football games, and the players love him. Players love to play for him. Players love to go out there and give their all for him. You know, that's the kind of leader that you want on your football team. You want to build with somebody who understands the culture. I don't think Andy Dalton understands the culture just yet because he hasn't been there long enough. And then to say that they're just going to turn back into a running team, that's not Mike McCarthy's MO. That's not what he does. He's not a running kind of coach. So for them to turn around and hand the football to Zeke, you know, 30, 35 times a game, I just don't see that happening because that's not what Mike McCarthy does. That's not part of his success. You know, all those years in Green Bay, I was begging for him to get a running back, begging for him to go get a running game to support Aaron Rodgers. Well, now he has that. And so I think this is, you know, I think this is an opportunity for him to show if he can adapt.
Well, he had a running back, or he thought he had one, but the guy couldn't stay at the buffet line in Green Bay. So he tried to do that with the guy that he took for but here's the one reason why I don't believe Jerry would do this, Skip. What was the reason in 2016 that Jerry wanted to go back to Tony Romo? Because Dak was turning around, handing the ball off. It wasn't box office. Nope. There ain't no razz to that. Jerry Jones wants fireworks. I got a $1 billion playpen. I need fireworks. I need the circus to come to town. The circus comes when you're throwing for 400 or 500 yards. You see how he gets excited, Skip, when they throwing them touchdowns? And then when you run the ball in the end zone, Jerry just sitting down, he nodded over there. He nodded, Steven. But when they throw touchdowns, Jerry's standing up, he's cheering, yeah. So the likelihood of Jerry wanting to run the football, Jerry likes box office. Ain't no box office in running the football.
Well, I would like to believe that my owner or my team wants to win games more than entertain.
No, he doesn't. No. He's in the entertainment business.
Entertainment business. No mercy.